So why don't we start with some hymns. On the back of our hymn sheet, there's some children's hymns. Who has one? Raise your hand. In the front row. Or kids. Go ahead.
47.
Number 47. Number 47. When he cometh, when he cometh, to make up his jewels,
all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, he is
like from the morning, they shall shine in his beauty bright and far.
Have a lot of seats up here in the front that are empty. Any children want to come up here in the front? Okay, we'll have another hymn. Go ahead.
14.
Number 14. Kylie wants number 14. Good job. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing of? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the
moment in the crucified, are you one?
the front row like stories? Anybody like stories? Oh, good. We have a few people that like stories. I have a story to tell you this morning, and it's a story about me. So I'll apologize for that, but after we sing a few more hymns, we're going to have some memory verses. And in the front row here, if you're willing to say a verse, it doesn't have to be anyone in particular, we would love to hear you say your memory verse. So who has another one? Right over here. Number 44. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay,
lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried there he. Nobody ever had told it to me.
Ask you kids in the front row here. Does anybody know what a connection is? Anybody know what a connection is? That's a kind of big word.
A link?
Yeah, a link. So I want to talk about connections this morning because I think connections are really, really important. So I want you to think about connections, but I want to talk about connections in a little different way than normal. Normally we think of maybe a link in a chain, right? So that connects the different parts of a chain together, but I think we've all had the opportunity this weekend to make some connections between us and other people, and that's something that I want to talk about this morning. So I want you to be thinking about that. Who else has a hymn that we can sing this morning? Rylan? What? Number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now sinners,
Before we go any further, let's bow our heads and we're going to ask the Lord for His help this morning. Our gracious, loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for all these children that are sitting here in this front row, and we thank Thee that they are here to hear about Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is the Savior of sinners. We thank Thee, our God and our Father, that Thou hast provided a means that we can have fellowship with Thee. And so we just ask for a blessing on this time. We pray that the words spoken might be simple and easy to understand. And we pray that they might glorify Thee and Thy beloved Son, our Savior. We ask this in His worthy, precious name, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing some more after a little bit, but I think it would be a good idea to say some memory verses. So do I have a volunteer in the front row? Very good. So what I'll do here is I'll just start here, and if you want to say your verse, just raise your hand, and we'll let you say your verse.
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24.
Good job.
Verily, verily, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be unto. In the presence of the angels of one sinner that repenteth.
Good job. Good job.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life, and shall not pass into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24.
Great job. Anybody else?
The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10.
Very good. I know it's kind of hard with this many people. Anybody over here? Any takers?
God so loved the world that He who gave His only begotten Son should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Good job.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His riches He saved us. Titus 3:5.
Very good. Anybody else? Anybody brave enough? Anybody else? Okay. You want me to come back? Okay.
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed unto from death unto life. John 5:24.
Is that the one you had? You want to say it?
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24.
Good job. Takers? Any takers? Island? Endon? Oh. The Walla Walla boys won't say the verse.
I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9.
Good job.
He that heareth my word.
He that heareth my word.
condemnation.
Pass from death unto life.
Trespass from death unto life. John 5:24.
Good job. Anybody else?
As you might have is on all this world, and most of what with me. And there's a human voice, and there's a big red foot on my silver. Therefore, does my Father love me, who has laid down my life, and I take it again.
Good job. Anybody else? Anybody that I missed? There we go.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life, but and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24.
Good job. Anybody else? You did a great job. Thank you. So let's sing another. What? Did I have somebody?
Oh, good job.
Okay, that's fine. Does somebody have a hymn? What's your number? Number 39. Children, I know almost all of you, probably all of you, have a memory verse that you know, and it's kind of hard to stand up in front of a big crowd like this and say the verse. So I want to thank you. It's really, really important that we hide the Word of God in our hearts. And I want to encourage you every week and every day to make sure that you hide the Word of God in your hearts. I'm going to read the first story that we have in the Word of God because I think it illustrates part of the subject that I want to talk about this morning. And so if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read the first part of this chapter. I know you children all are familiar with this story, but I want to read it from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. This story is the story of how sin came into this world. Because God had told Adam and Eve that they could freely eat of all the trees that were in the Garden of Eden, with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve listened to Satan, and she took of that tree and she ate, and sin came into her life. I have a story that happened to me about 13 years ago. At that point in time, we lived in Walla Walla, and my mother lived over here in the Seattle area, a little bit south of here. And we had a van, and we liked to come over and visit my mom. Any of you guys like to go to your grandmother's house and have a visit? You guys like to go see your grandmother? I think most everybody likes to go see their relatives. And so we, on this particular time, we were paying a visit to my mom, and as often occurs, came Lord's Day afternoon, and we had to go home because we had school and work and whatnot. And so we hopped in our van, and we got on the road. But I don't know if any of your parents are like this, but I know sometimes we get talking, and we get doing this and that and the other thing, and sometimes the clock keeps on going and it gets a little late, and this time it got a little late. And we didn't leave over here until probably around 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon on the Lord's Day afternoon. And so we hopped in the car, and it had been a pretty busy weekend, and we started driving. Do any of you kids ever fall asleep in the car? I know our kids, they usually would fall asleep pretty quickly. But if you've slept for a little while and then you wake up, what happens? You can't go back to sleep very well, right? Usually that's the case. we were driving along in our car, and I got pretty tired, and so I turned to my wife and I said, "Sweetheart, could you drive for a little while? Because I'm just getting really sleepy." And she said, "Sure." And so we pulled over, and we had a little baby. He's now 15 years old, that was sitting in his car seat, and every time we slowed down and stopped, he would start to wake up. And so he almost woke up the other kids when we switched drivers, and we were kind of concerned about that. We got back on the road. Thankfully, they all went back to sleep. And we're driving along, and pretty soon my wife says, "Hon, I'm getting really, really tired. Can you drive?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I can drive." And we were over by the Rogers house by that point. And so we hatched a plan. We had a minivan that had two captain seats in the front, and we thought that we would switch drivers really, really quickly. So I took my seatbelt off and kind of crouched behind my wife, and she came to a stop and put it in park, and then she hopped out of the way, and I hopped in the driver's seat. And we took off. Almost. So I have a something that happened here to me that I want to show you guys. You guys like cars? Any of you boys like cars? I have a piece of that car that I want to talk about this morning. I saved this. This is probably the most expensive object lesson you'll ever see for Sunday school. So, we decided we were going to change drivers really, really quickly, right? And I hopped in that seat, and I was putting on my seatbelt, and I decided that I would put the car in gear, and we would take off real quick so that the kids wouldn't wake up. And I put my foot down on what I thought was the brake. I happened to have my foot on the brake and the gas pedal at the same time. And the engine revved up. And then I threw it in gear. And I heard a bang. And then a whee. And we didn't go anywhere. I'm pretty sure all of you children came this morning in a car, right? Do any of you guys know what are the major components of a car? You have an engine, right? You put gas in the gas tank, and the gas goes into the engine. The engine makes power. Where does that power go from there? Anybody know? It goes into the transmission. The transmission is what makes you go fast or slow. Or backwards. And then the transmission takes that power and puts it into the wheels and you go. Right? This happens to be the front end of the transmission. And this is what hooks into the engine. And if you'll notice, they're two different parts. They're not supposed to be two different parts. This is what's called the input shaft to the transmission. And it broke. It's supposed to be connected right here. So we had a dilemma. Interestingly enough, the kids didn't wake up. So we sat there on the side of the road, and the engine ran just fine, but we didn't go anywhere because there was a broken connection. And children, Adam and Eve in the garden, they had a broken connection. If we turn back here to Genesis chapter 3. I want to talk about this first broken connection in Adam and Eve's life. You see, in verse 9, the Lord came to talk with Abraham, with Adam and Eve. And I think that this was something that happened every afternoon. We read in other places that the Lord wants to talk to you and me. And yet, when Eve took of that forbidden fruit, the connection that Adam and Eve had with the Lord God was severed. It was broken, and it was permanently broken. I want to ask you a question. Rylan, you know anything about super glue? Pretty strong. Do you think I could reconnect this part to that part with super glue? Would it work? I don't know if he's here yet. Andrew? Uncle Andrew way back there, he's a material science guy. He's pretty smart. No? Yeah. So the question before the answer was, is there any glue that we could use to connect this to that and make the car whole again? The answer is truly no. There's nothing that I could do. You know, my son has been learning to weld. And welding is when you put two pieces of metal together and make them one piece of metal. Or try to. You know what? It doesn't even work to try to weld this part to that part and machine it back. It will never, ever work. So for us to have a working vehicle again, we had to go to a shop and we had to purchase a brand new part. And children, our connection with God has been forever severed, has been forever ruined because of sin. Scripture says that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That means every single person in this room has the stamp of sin on their lives. Even the smallest little baby has been born in sin. And our connection with God has been permanently and completely severed. You know, it didn't matter what gear I put that vehicle in. We weren't going any direction. And I could push on the gas pedal as hard as I wanted, and we were not going to go any place. Because the connection to the transmission had been broken. You know, there's a little more to that story that I think illustrates another point. So I'm pretty resourceful. And my wife and I, we looked at each other and we said, well, now what are we going to do? And I said, well, I think there's a gas station over on the other side of the freeway there. I'll just run over there, because that was before we carried cell phones. I'll run over there and I'll call my father-in-law and he can come get us. We'll be fine. Right? He's actually here someplace. There he is over there. So I ran over to the gas station and asked to use their phone and picked up the phone and I called Uncle Walt. Said, Dad, I need some help. Ironically, we were taking a tow dolly from my mom's house back to our house because my mom didn't need it anymore. And so we had the means of towing a vehicle sitting right behind our car. Couldn't go anywhere. So I called him up and I said, Dad, we need some help. Can you come help us? Another person that is here kindly jumped in the car with Dad. They brought a pickup and a car because we had kids and everybody wouldn't fit in the pickup. And they came over and we hooked onto the tow dolly and put the front end of our van up on that tow dolly and towed it home. All good, right? Not really. That van happened to be an all-wheel drive van. And we ruined the rest of the transmission by towing it home without disconnecting the driveline. And the reason I tell you that, dear children, is we have a tendency to think that we can do something to improve our condition. If I'm really good, maybe it will help. And it doesn't help. Because the stamp of sin is upon each one of us. And our connection with God has been broken, and it doesn't matter how much we try to improve things, we're only going to make it worse. And that's the case with that van. You know, I think the shop told me that it would have been, I don't know, $500 if I hadn't towed the van from that location, but instead it was $1,500 because I towed the van home. I made it three times worse because I thought I knew what I was doing. And dear children, there's only one way that our situation between us and God, our connection between us and God, can be fixed. Part of it we read about earlier, and I'm going to get to that, but turn with me to John chapter 3. You see, there was a gentleman by the name of Nicodemus, and he wanted to know how to get right with God. He wanted to know how his connection to God could be restored. And so he asked the Lord Jesus, and this is the answer the Lord Jesus gave him. John chapter 3, verse 3, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You and I have to have a new life for us to have a connection with God. And the way that we get that new life is found down in verse 16 that somebody already quoted. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have to have a new life. And the way that we get that new life, dear children, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He has accomplished. Believing that He has forever settled the question of our sins. That He has taken the full punishment of our sins upon Himself and made us free from that penalty. Earlier I spoke of the fact that there's other connections in our lives, and I want to demonstrate that a little bit. Can I have a couple volunteers? Go ahead, I'll take these two. You guys help me? So, I'm going to go way, way back in time. Okay? We have a communication device here. Have you ever seen one of these? So, Lukey, if you can take that over there, you hold this here. So, if anybody knows anything about communication devices, this certain communication device will connect Luke and, what's your name?
Ezra.
Ezra. It'll connect Luke and Ezra if they pull the string tight. Right? And you guys can communicate between this. So, I'm going to ask you, Ezra, to read a verse here, and we'll see if Luke can get the message. So, I want you to read verse 9.
"If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." "And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Luke, could you hear that? Only heard the first part? Let's try that again. Try it louder. You got to speak right into it. Pull it tight.
Sins,
pull it really tight.
"He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to..."
Uh-oh. That happened pretty quick. Did anybody see what the sign was that he was holding? It said sin. And dear children, thank you. I have another string. We can try it later. The illustration, and I had to give my son way too many signals there. Sin hinders our communication between us as individuals. I want to turn back to that. I'm going to read that. And this is the solution to our problem as well. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Earlier, our brother Matt Richardshagen was telling a story, and I don't know if you children picked up on that story, but he was talking about a child, and it could be any one of us, that was told not to have any cookies. You guys remember that story? He said there was a kid that was told he couldn't have any cookies, and he went and took a cookie. And after he took that cookie, do you think he wanted to go see his mom? No, his connection to his mother was broken because of sin. And that's true of all of us. When we allow sin in our lives, whether we're saved or unsaved, when we allow sin in our lives, it breaks our connections with other people as well. Not only does it break our connection with God, but it breaks our connections with each other as well. And dear children, we have the solution here. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is so very important for us to have connections with other people as well as with God. We need to confess our sins. That's absolutely critically important. If I may, I want to talk just a little bit above you children's heads. I want to talk real briefly to the young people this morning. We live in a society where everyone has one of these things, cell phone. And we live in a society where you can take a picture and splash it across this world in just a matter of seconds. And you can text somebody and you can communicate in all kinds of different ways. Ironically, in this world that we live in that has so many methods of communication, our connections with other people are suffering dramatically. And I want to encourage young and old, and I'm speaking to myself as well here, the connections that we have with other people and with God are so vitally important. Studies show that the average American feels more disconnected than ever before because relationships take hard work. Relationships require trust, and they don't occur very well with texting and Snapchat and Facebook and all these other methods. And as you children grow up, and you older young people, I want to encourage you to cultivate godly connections that will be a blessing in your life. The tools that we have available to us do not necessarily promote that. In fact, they're directly against it most of the time. And sometimes it's difficult. I remember when I was a teenager, and I was afraid, honestly, to invest in relationships because I was afraid that those relationships would be broken. See, I had suffered death in my life. And death is one of those things that permanently severs our connection with someone else, at least as far as time is concerned here on earth. And it's only been in the last, I'd say 15 years, that I have developed deep connections with others. And it's been an immense help and a blessing to me. As you grow up and as you move forward in your lives, dear children, dear young people, cultivate those relationships with others. They're what gets you through the bad times. When you have someone that you can call up and you can say, you know, I'm really suffering today. That's an immense value. But if you haven't built that relationship, you don't have that opportunity. Again, sin severs the relationships that we have in our lives with God and with fellow man. I know it's hard. You know, as young people, interacting with other people takes a whole lot of energy. Believe it or not, I struggle with that myself. I don't do well in a crowd. I don't have any problem standing up here and talking. But to sit down with someone who is a stranger and to develop a deep relationship is difficult. But dear young people, we have a wonderful resource in this blessed book. And as much as it's difficult to develop those relationships in our lives, when we base those relationships on this blessed book, it makes it so much easier. When we can open this blessed book and talk about the things that we've learned and the things that we've enjoyed, it gives us a common bond, a common connection. Scripture says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Dear young people, that threefold cord is us, individuals, and you, and God. If we have all three of those in the equation, we have a common bond, a connection that is incredibly valuable and is not easily broken. Dear children, the way that you develop that is to open this precious book and to read it every single day of your life. I won't share who it is, but a few years ago, I challenged the children in the Walla Walla Assembly to read their Bible every single day and to mark it down on a calendar and then come to me once a month and I would give them a reward. And one of the children that did that actually didn't come and get the reward most of the months that we were doing that. But over the course of 6 months, I talked to some other people, and they said that the countenance, the attitude, the personality of that person changed dramatically because they were reading the Word of God every single day. They went from someone who, quite frankly, was not very approachable and was relatively sullen in their features to someone who is joyful and happy and a delight to be with. Dear children, read this blessed book every single day of your life. It will change you from the inside out, and it will give you the ability to make connections you never thought were possible. And it will make a lasting effect on your life. I can tell you that from experience. And I want to speak to those that are older. You know, sometimes accountability is a really wonderful thing. And I want to encourage those that are older to figure out ways to encourage our children to read the Bible, whether it's by a reward or whatever means it is. It's so very worth it. Again, children, just to recap, because we're almost out of time. We have a broken connection with God. And no matter what we try, we cannot restore that connection. We have to be made new. Just like this piece of transmission, this input shaft, we couldn't glue it together. We couldn't weld it together. We had to have a new part. Each one of us individually, children, have to have a transaction with God where we say, individually, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want that connection restored, made new. And if we do that, we're going to find that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our heart and helps us. And dear children, if you're saved, and I thank God for that, keep short accounts with God. Confess your sin to Him. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And we need to go to Him and confess our sin. And it says He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will make that connection new again. And dear young people, cultivate the godly relationships in your lives. Spend that time and energy. It's going to reap eternal benefit. We'll close in prayer. Our gracious, loving God and our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us a new life in the Lord Jesus, if we'll accept it. We pray for these children. We pray that their hearts would be touched and they would desire that ultimate connection with Thee, our God and our Father, through Thy beloved Son. We pray, our God and our Father, that there would be a reality in each one life here. And Lord, we know that sin interrupts our connections with Thee and with those around us, and we just pray that Thou would help us to be willing to confess our sin. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised that Thou wilt restore that fellowship. We ask for Thy blessing on Thy word. We thank Thee for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for the sweetness of the time that we've had here this weekend. We pray for continued blessing in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.